You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Here's today's message with Dr. Daryl Orman.
Amen. Let's greet each other. Give everybody a greeting. Tell them hello. Welcome back to the fellowship hall. update. We had a surge on our air conditioner, our new air conditioner that shorted it out, and Krause and Crane is waiting for six different parts from six different distributors. So God help us, really, literally. And we'll pray about that. And we're celebrating 50 years, the 50-year anniversary of our school. And let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. And we have an accreditation committee coming next week to do our accreditation. As you know, we've been accredited for years and years with ACSI, Christian Accreditation Group, and they're going to be with our school for a week and going through everything, and so we'll have a great time with them, godly group of people coming. So we're going to pray for them as we have our initial prayer. Let's pray together, okay? Father, we just want to tell you we love you, and thank you so much for the privilege to meet today. And Lord, I just want to thank you specifically and directly and acknowledge you for protecting President Donald Trump. I pray, dear God, that you would continue to protect him, surround him with your grace and mercy, with your mighty angels. And dear God, we pray for the election coming up, Lord, that your will be done. And Father, if you would, in grace and mercy, just continue to deliver us. We pray, Lord, that you would move in a supernatural way. And Father, I want to pray for the accreditation committee, dear God, that you'd be with them, anoint them, and give them a great time and relationship with Allie, our teachers, our administration. And Lord, just let them have a wonderful night. Let them see everything we need to see. And Lord, just use them to improve us and strengthen us. And Father, we pray for this service this morning, that you'll anoint it. We desperately need your comfort, your care, your strength, your presence. And we ask you, please, Almighty God, to just pour your Spirit out upon us today. And Father, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, we're beginning again our fall Bible studies for our men and for our ladies. And guys, we've got, I think, two or three books left. And we're going to be looking at From Superficial to Significant, what it means to become great in God's eyes. And a wonderful study for the next few weeks. And then our ladies' study also. Books are available, sign-up sheet. Ladies are 15, their books. Ours are 10. And want to encourage you to grab those and get ready for tonight for our Bible study. The information's also here in our cell. I want to encourage you to take part in our life groups. We had a wonderful discussion today, our life group, and wonderful study in our commentaries this morning. And we just want to invite you to be a part of that as well at 9:15 on Sunday morning. And then come and take part in our breakfast snack time and enjoy that. And we'd like to invite you, if you're our guest today, to just tear off this and fill it out, place it in our cell so we can connect with you. And then for Wednesday nights, pizza and Proverbs. And we've been enjoying that, breaking pizza together. And we've had different ones bring a proverb for us. And so I want to encourage you to be with us for that. And then we've got coming up the beginning of what used to be MOPS, which is now called MOMCO. Why did they rename that? MOMCO, that sounds like, you know, a department store, a discount department store. Mom Community. Okay, MOMCO. So it's no longer MOPS, but it is. MOMCO is starting this Wednesday night, and there's some information in the sale. There's also a card you can use to hand out to a young mom with kids. Invite them to come. They have a great, great fellowship, and they're being mentored and growing in Jesus, and it's a real blessing. So I want to encourage you to help us get that information out as well. Thank you.
Pray with me, please, over our offering. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here today and hear your word spoken and taught and sang. Father, we're glad to be anywhere and hear your word spoken, taught, and sang. It's nice to be in this AC, but we'd stand on the surface of the sun to hear it. Father, we love you and praise you and ask that you'll bless this time, bless the message that you left on Pastor's heart. We thank you for the choir bringing us into a spirit of worship. Father, we love you and praise you and ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, there are a lot of things in our life that can produce worry and anxiety now more than probably ever before. And, you know, there's so many things confronting us and stressing us. In Scripture, he tells us that we're to be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make our requests known to God. And he wants us to pray about everything. And when we think about the things that we've been worried about, I mean, we can begin with our physical health. And, you know, we've just gone through a global pandemic in the last 3 or 4 years, and where everybody was wondering if just going outside at the beginning would be fatal. And then after the anxiety and the angst of that, we went through, can we trust the information we're receiving one way or another? As we sifted through and triaged all that information relating to the pandemic and then the remedies and everything else. And so we've gone through that we've never had in our life. And then we've got even some worries about the significance of all these things. This week I had someone ask me, Pastor, do you think that the COVID shots, the immune shots, were the mark of the beast? And I said, no, I don't. Yeah, but I do think that it was actually a trial run for trying to vaccinate the whole world and to get the whole world used to the idea of that. So I definitely think there was a trial run in it. But do I think that we were injected with metal and we're a part of the internet? I don't think that's the case with those vaccinations. I think some of that's a misunderstanding about some of the dynamics of it. But we're worried about that, and then all these things even divide us, and we're pros and cons and triaging this and that. And then we look at our security, our personal financial security. And never before in the history of our nation have all of us been at such risk for losing our finances for no reason of our own, because of third parties, banks, credit card companies, applications that we have on our phones, where they have phishing expeditions against them, and they draw off millions and millions of Social Security numbers and our identities, and then try to reestablish themselves as us. And we've got a family, one of the key wonderful families in the life of our church, that has just been going through a hellish scenario with that. $21,000 taken out of their savings account, $17,500 charged on a credit card, and then another credit card taken out in their name. And so we've got all those anxieties, but a couple of notes on that, and I'll hit it just to help alleviate a little of that fear, or at least to help you with it. One of the most powerful things you can do to protect your credit is to freeze your three credit reports. And if you haven't done that, I want to encourage you all to go and do it this afternoon. And you just call Experian, TransUnion, the three, and you freeze your credit report. And with that, no one can take out credit for you. You can't either. I did that, and then I needed to get a credit card to get a new roof on our house. I put a third of our new roof on a credit card, an interest-free credit card, and I couldn't get the credit card until I unfroze. So I unfroze for a day, got the credit card, froze back. And so that's a powerful thing you can do. There's two other things I want to make you aware of that people don't know. If you use a debit card and you go to the Anytime machines to get cash, if you do the tap option where you tap it and then you get your cash and you walk away thinking your transaction is over, by using the tap to do it, you've left the transaction open. The next person that comes behind you can draw cash out of your account, and the bank will not reimburse you because they'll say that you authorized that transaction. So either don't use the Anytime machines or slide your card, or don't use a debit card. Credit cards, you have the protection. Anyway, that's another story. The sermon's not about credit cards. But and then one other thing that's going on now, how many of you have gotten gifts from family members from Amazon where they order something, have it shipped to your house? Raise your hands. Lots of people. And inside there's a little, one of the scan codes, a little sheet of paper with scan code. If you scan that, if it's from your daughter, your mother, your husband, your wife, or whatever, and you scan it, sometimes there's a birthday card, anniversary card, Christmas card that's identified with that scan, and it appears on your phone, sometimes a little video or whatever. So scammers now are actually sending cheap, insignificant gifts to people, like a paperweight, for example, or whatever. And they put the little scan sheet in there, and people think, well, this is a gift from a friend or whatever. They scan it, and with that, they get access to your phone and to your email and to your information. So make sure when you get those gifts where they came from, just like don't open an email that you don't know about. Don't answer phone calls that you're not aware of. If they know you, they'll leave a message. So anyway, that's another area of fear. And I know now I'm adding more fear to you. So, I mean, we can't win with this. But and he does say in Scripture, discipling them and teaching them all things. So credit cards are part of all things. So anyway, credit cards, and then we've got a fear of our personal security. I mean, you know, is someone going to shoot up the restaurant we're in, or come into the department store, or wherever, the library, or wherever? I don't think they've shot up any libraries. Maybe they love books. I don't know, but we've got that anxiety, you know, and then you get past that into the other areas of our life and our relational anxieties. Never has the nation been more divided than it is right now. And there's families that can't meet anymore for Thanksgiving or Christmas. They can't have a family reunion any longer because of the schism and the division of our nation and the emotional issues. And so relationships are strained, and there's a lot of anxiety about that, and the irregularity of that. And we just see there's a lot of things for us to be worried and concerned about. And so today I'd like for us to look at coping with the storms of life with an example from the disciples and the Lord Jesus. And if you've got your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 22. And we'll begin with this passage together. And this particular scenario instantly follows the Lord Jesus Christ feeding of the 5,000. You know that story? It's a familiar story. The miracle where a little boy's lunch fed 5,000 men, it says, men. So trying to extrapolate how many were really there, it's really the miracle of feeding the 10,000 or the 15,000. 5,000 men, were they all married? No, but if they were and they had wives there, that was 10,000. And so I'm for sure they weren't all married, but there were also family men there, their wife and kids, and they had large families back then. So to make up for all the batching guys that ate the free lunch, we've got dads with kids. And so we could say there could have even been 20,000 there. We know there were 5,000 men there. And so the Lord Jesus took the little boy's sack lunch and a couple of fish, some loaves, and fed possibly 15, 20,000 people, kind of like immigrant numbers. They're all over the place. But so we see here this great miracle. The disciples saw Jesus do that. And then in the passage just above this, verse 20, it says, and they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. Sack lunch, 10, 15, 20,000 people, 12 baskets full of, they all were full. They ate all they wanted, and they had 12 baskets of food left. This is the Lord Jesus. So remember, that's in the disciples' psyche. That's in their experience base. That's what they've just gone through. And so now we begin with our story. And immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And while he sent the multitudes away, and after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia away from the land. In fact, they estimate this was 2.5 miles. That is a lot of water. That's a lot of distance on a body of water. So the boat was already 2.5 miles away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. The night was divided into these watches. The fourth watch was between 3 and 6 a.m. before sunup. And so he's walking across, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you," now if they're dark, middle of, out in the lake, "command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus, but seeing the wind, he became afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "You are certainly God's son." And when they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent into all that surrounding district and brought to him all who were sick. And they began to entreat him or beg him that he might just touch, that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak, and as many as touched it were cured, they were healed. So here we see this story that is familiar to many of us, of the Lord Jesus Christ going to his disciples, Sea of Galilee, and this storm. So there's several things we can draw from this. about our own lives and about the Lord Jesus interacting with us in the storms of life, in the midst of our fears, in when we're overwhelmed with anxiety. First of all, we've got this supernatural storm. Jesus brought them into the storm. Now, this is something you need to recognize in your life, whatever you're going through right now, whatever you're experiencing, that it has come through the permissive will of God, and Jesus has brought us into our circumstances. So, I mean, whatever the case, our family in the church with this identity theft problem, something in your life, your interpersonal relationships, your health issues, all of these things in your life, they've come through the permissive will of God, and you have to recognize that and respond to that. And so Jesus brought them into the storm in verse 22. He made them get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. So this was his plan. This is what he did. This is what he designed for them. Secondly, Jesus is praying for you in the midst of the storm. Verse 23, and after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. This is something that can be a great source of comfort. Whatever's going on in our lives, Jesus Christ is praying for us right now. And it's above our consciousness. Sometimes he brings it into our consciousness. Sometimes we're made aware. But Jesus Christ is praying for us right now through the Trinity, through the Holy Spirit. And the scripture says, and the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, inaudible, above sound. So right now I'm standing here speaking to you, and the Holy Spirit of God is interceding. Jesus, through the Spirit of God, is interceding for me right now. You're seated in your seats, and he's aware of your circumstances. And right now, whatever you're going through, the Spirit of God is praying for you right now. He's interceding for you. And so here we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is there. He'd gone up, and we know he's praying for him because he knows what's going to happen. He knows he's going to walk out there on the water. A 2.5-mile water walk. That's a lot of, you know, barefooting, if you will. Have any of you ever tried to barefoot ski? I tried it, and it's hard for a big guy to do that. And the water coming up in your face. Anyway, that's another story. We won't talk about barefoot skiing. But Jesus, 2.5 miles walking across the top of a tempestuous sea, I mean, I guess up and down, you know, over the waves, over the swells as he's walking out there. And then we see that, number three, Jesus will come to you in the midst of your storm. Jesus will make his presence known. I have had people share with me, and I've experienced it in my own life, that when you go through some of the hardest things, some of the deepest water, some of the most trying experiences in your life is times that we sense the presence of Christ the most. The most. Now, I can tell you one of those times for me, and it wasn't a trying time, it was a blessing, but it was when Kim and I were in Pakistan. And I was getting up, the Lord was laying on my heart to get up every morning at the first prayer call at 4 a.m. in the morning and go up on the roof of the mission house. And I could hear the minarets, three of them, one close and real loud and distinct, a little bit distinct but fading, and then one way off in the city when the imams were doing the prayer to call, Allah Akbar, and going into all of it. And I'd go up there and I'd kneel down and I'd pray, and I did it 1 week every morning. And as soon as I went up on the roof and knelt down, I'd say, Lord, your servant's here. Guide me in prayer. Show me how to pray. And I just sensed the atmospheric presence of Christ on the roof stronger than I ever have in my life. In the middle of Islamabad, Pakistan. And he is there. He comes. Another time was in India, going through the village of Babat, which was only had one Christian out of 36,000 in the population, one old man, and it was dominated by a Muslim mosque and a Hindu temple. And the Sikhs, there was also a strong presence of the Sikhs there as well. And walking through, preparing for two nights, for two rallies, I sensed danger. I mean, we walked by one Sikh and he had turned his bicycle over, put an emery around his back tire of his bicycle. He had run the pedals and sharpened his sword on the back tire of his bicycle. That can be intimidating. You know, when you walk by and they're glaring at you and they're sharpening their sword. You know, but I tell you, the presence of Christ in these circumstances, when I was a baby Christian and we'd go into these drug parties to share Christ, and we went into tough parts of Memphis to share Jesus. And at Lynchburg, when I was a student at Liberty and I organized a soul winning group, and we went into the bars and pools halls in the roughest part of town in Lynchburg to sense the presence of Christ. And he shows up and he comes. And he comes into our life. I mean, we could ask for testimonies today, and I'm sure many of you could share how in your dark time, in, you know, the loss of a loved one, bad news from the doctor, these different things where he's present and he shows up in your life. And so we see this beginning in verse 24. But the boat was already 2.5 miles away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Jesus shows up and they're afraid. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage. You know, it's me. It is I. Do not be afraid." And so Jesus comes to allay our fears in the midst of the storm. Years ago, we had a member of our church, Cloyd Branning, and he had a real nice, long cabin fishing boat. And he invited me to go a couple of times, and I went one time. We went 26 miles out of our inlet, and we were in 1,000 feet of water just off the shelf. And as we were fishing there, I was able to hook up to a blue marlin and caught a blue marlin, and that was a lot of fun. I won't get into that story. But after it was done, this real handsome mate, muscular, tanned, fit, young guy, looked like a surfer dude, blonde hair. I forgot his name, but I was beginning to witness to him near the end of our trip as we were heading back into the inlet and to the dock. And I began to witness to him and share Jesus with him. And I'll never forget what he told me. On the beginning of that, he said, "I believe, Pastor, I know what you're talking about." He said, "My best friend is a mate on another boat." And he was working on this very wealthy man's private fishing boat. And they had taken it to Costa Rica for a tournament. And the owner flew in, fished the tournament, flew back out. So him, the captain, and another mate on the boat, and one other guy that helped them, the four of them were on the boat, and they were bringing the boat back to the United States. They had passed through the strait there by Cuba. They were way north of Cuba, heading toward the Bahamas, and around 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, the boat fell off of a hidden sea. A hidden sea is described as like a hole in the water. They believe it was probably 30 feet deep. So it was like the boat falling off of a three-story building. And it literally breached the hull, cracked the thing, and it immediately sank, and they were waking up to water gushing in, and it's jet black out there. They're halfway between Cuba and the United States, Florida, and the boat goes down, and none of them have on a life vest. None of them have a flotation device. And so they were able to gather in the water, the four of them, and they were treading water, and they were holding hands like in a circle, treading water, trying to support each other. And they prayed, he said, and he said, I heard this directly from my friend. They prayed, God help us. We're going to drown out here before anybody can find us. They're in a circle in jet black dark ocean, floating in the middle of nowhere, and right in the middle of the circle, a bag floats up with two scuba suits in it, two flotation scuba suits, floats up right in the middle of them. And they couldn't believe it, so they took those items out, and then they were just praising God. That's bigger than a needle in a haystack. And then right after that, the surfboard, one of them had a surfboard, the surfboard had broke loose from the wreckage and had come up and shoots out of the water near them. And now they've got two full flotation suits and a surfboard, and it saved their lives. So I was able to use that to talk to him about Jesus, and he gloriously gave his life to Christ. He was wide open, and he said, I know there's a God. To do what he did for my friend, there's got to be a God, and I want to know him, and I need to know him. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. The Lord shows up in the midst of our circumstances. And then we see also, I had the opportunity, you know, Marty Heron, my buddy, was here, pastor friend last year, filling in for us while we were on sabbatical. And Marty and I, years ago, when I was pastoring my church in Hollywood, he came down, and we went out fishing in a small boat on Lake Okeechobee. And we were out way out in the middle of the lake fishing, and those storms, these South Florida storms, one of them rushed up on us. And so the guy that had taken us out started heading to shore, but the storm caught us, lightning flashing, and of course we're the highest thing on the lake. That's the danger of it, is you're the highest thing. And then the wind, the waves started kicking, almost like the ocean, some white caps, water coming over the boat. We started having to bail the boat out. And Marty and I mean, we were trying to stay peaceful. We're men of faith. We're trying to trust, but we thought we were going to die. We thought we were going to drown out there. And, you know, God's peace surrounded us. Thank God for the boat driver, you know, our guide. He got us back, and obviously I'm here. We were able to survive. But Jesus shows up in the midst of our storms. Secondly, we see the supernatural walk. We see Peter's desire to be with Jesus in verse 28. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Do you want to be with Jesus? Do you want his presence? Do you want to be in his presence? Do you want to experience him? Do you want the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, a part of your life? Do you want to share your life with him? Now here we see Peter, we know to be the impetuous one, but we also know that he had such a fervent desire for Jesus and relating to Jesus. He was constantly referencing Jesus, going back to Jesus. In chapter 15, verse 15, and Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. And then in chapter 16, verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter was constantly having that driven desire to know Jesus, to be with Jesus, to experience Christ in his life. How driven are we? How driven are you to experience Christ? Is he just a Sunday morning fling for you? Is this, well, I do Sunday morning. And actually in South Florida, if you just make all the Sunday mornings, that's huge in South Florida. But what does he mean to you? What's your desire for him? Peter was driven with a desire for him. And we see Peter's faith in Christ in verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he was trusting in him. So what happens? Peter obeys Christ because he says to him, come out, come to me. Verse 29, Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus. So first of all, there's an expectant or an emboldened request where he's saying, can I come to you, Lord? Then there's an exciting invitation. And he says, yes, come. In scripture, he says that, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. So Jesus says, come, come to me. And Revelation ends that way. All who are thirsty, come. Come drink of the water of life. There's an invitation from Christ for us to come to him. There's an invitation for us to experience him. And then we see also there's an enthusiastic exclamation from Peter as he responds to the Lord Jesus. And he goes out of the boat. He's walking in the water. He's coming toward Jesus. He's walking on water just like Jesus did. But seeing the wind, he became afraid and began to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. Now, it's interesting that Peter, when he was looking at Jesus, he could do it. When he's looking at Jesus, he had faith, he had trust, he had certainty, assurance. When he's looking at Jesus, he's on top of the water. Then the wind, some heavy gales hit him, and he becomes distracted. He takes his attention off of Christ. He looks at the storm. He looks at the waves. He looks at the wind. And this is what our lives are like. This is where the enemy of our souls comes after us, to distract us, to get our eyes off of Christ, to get our eyes on the storm, to get our eyes on the circumstances and the things that bring fear and anxiety in our life. And sure enough, after that happens, Peter begins to sink. He's going down. He's going to drown, so he thinks. Now, through the years, I've heard a lot of preachers preach on this, and I've heard them criticize Peter, you know, Peter's lack of faith, you know, Peter's sinking, Peter not staying up on top, not staying in contact with Christ. But I want to tell you something. How many disciples were probably in the boat? We'd probably say, how many? 12, all of them. How many of them got out of the boat on the water? Only one. And I want to tell you something. If you look around and you're fearful, you may be fearful about witnessing. You may be fearful about sharing your testimony with your neighbor or a family member. You're looking at the storm. You won't walk on the water unless you step out and look to Christ. You won't have that joyous, wonderful experience of seeing someone's life changed, that glorious liberation that occurs, unless you step out of the boat. And we see that with Peter. At least Peter got out of the boat. Now, I've gotten out of the boat, you know, on some of our mission trips. I mentioned India, Kim and I, Pakistan we witnessed, and that was hard because there's blasphemy laws there. They could have cut my head off for talking about Jesus. But It's interesting through the years when I think about it, and I started, now that I'm older, I think about when we've gone to Brazil and gone down the Xingu River in these long, skinny boats through the rocks with howling monkeys in the trees and 30-foot anacondas that ate two of the villagers. And I've thought about all of that, and I've thought, I'm 67 now. Do I still want to go out there and get out there with it? But I want to tell you something. Out there is where you experience Christ. Now, you don't have to get in a boat and go through anaconda-infested waters, but you can go to your neighbor. You can witness to someone at the grocery store. You can share your testimony with someone in the public. You can step out of the boat with Christ and identify with him. And that's what he wants us to do. And so here we see this example from Peter and his response, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. In Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in the heart of a man weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. And so we see in relationship to this, the desire from God to give us this strength, to give us this encouragement. And then we see finally there's a speedy rescue where he cries out, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of Peter, and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, that's interesting. When the Lord Jesus is looking at the only man in the boat that walked toward him on the water. But that's an interesting experience between Christ and Peter. Before Peter denied him, Jesus warned him and he said, Peter, Satan, Lucifer, has desired to sift you like wheat. But I prayed that your faith won't fail. I thought about that and I said, oh Lord, if he asks for me, please tell him no. Just say no. Leave Daryl alone. You know, I'm sure you feel the same way. But that shows that interaction between the Lord Jesus and us, that we are here to go through testings. We are here to go through adversities. We are here to, sometimes we demonstrate to people with God's hands on us, his blessing, his prosperity. But then there's times where we illustrate to him that we love him when we're struck, you know, when we're under adversity, when things are hard, and we're to be that example as well. And so here we see a speedy rescue from the Lord. And then not only for Peter individually, and of course with his response, and when they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshiped Jesus. You are certainly God's son. And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. So he not only delivered Peter in the midst of the water, out in the water, but he delivered the whole boatload of disciples and got them to the other side. He's going to do the same thing in our lives. He's going to get us to the other side. And so we need to be aware of that. We need to respond to that and recognize that Jesus will deliver us. And this is one thing I've had some of you say in recent weeks and months with everything that's going on, all the world events and everything we've been looking at, prophecy, Israel, World War III, our presidential election, all of these other things. And you've been saying, well, praise God, I know I'm going to heaven. Praise God, I know Jesus is in my life. And so it's important for us to recognize this, that there is a rescue that he executes on our behalf. And it all begins really with our salvation, with our personal relationship with Christ, to know him personally. Now I want to ask you, you're sitting there with husband, wife, children, different relationships, friends from church. When you're interacting with each other, you're back at home, you're away from services here or ministry here, you're back at home. How much of your relationship, husband, wife, kids, all of you, how much of your relationship is really about Christ? I'm not asking for a show of hands or anything, but how much of it is naturally, organically talking about Jesus, experiencing Christ? Now, I mean, we can get things confused. We can say, well, I'm going to this activity at church, or I'm going to Pizza and a Proverb, or I'm going to Mops and whatever it is now, Momco or whatever. You know, I'm going to these different things. But how much of it is relationship Christ? Really? I think about that a lot through the years, interacting with our people and thinking about some that are Jesus people. I mean, it's Jesus and they talk about Jesus, and Jesus is, they voluntarily tell me what Jesus is doing in their life and how he's speaking to them and how he's interacting with them. And then I think of others and it's more just, it's not organic, it's organizational. And it's just the organization of it. And so here we need to recognize that Jesus wants to be real and personal in our lives. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for the example of Peter. Thank you for his faith, Lord. Thank you for your love and patience with him. Thank you for your love and patience for us. Maybe somebody's just tuning in or listening by radio or whatever the case might be today. I beg you, Lord, don't let a one of them that hears this, don't let a one of them miss your grace and mercy, miss your salvation. I beg you, God, please, by your powerful Spirit, knock at their door. Draw them to yourself. Father, I just want to ask you, please, right now to speak to hearts. Illuminate people. If they don't have that real relationship with you, open their eyes. Open their mind and heart. And I'd like to ask you right now, have you repented of your sins and placed your full trust in Jesus Christ? And I'd like to invite you right now just to pray with me. He tells us, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. And just say, Almighty God, I receive your Son Jesus as my sacrifice, as my substitute to pay for my sins. Lord, please apply his righteousness to me and forgive me and cleanse me and live through me. In Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're going to give our invitation, and I want you to do business with God today as he speaks to your heart. And we're going to stand and sing together with John. John, you're going to lead us. I want to remind you again about our study starting tonight. Information's in the cell, and if you need to pick up the workbook for it, they're here at the front. Judith will be here collecting for that. And I just want to tell you, love you, proud of you. God bless you. Pray for our nation. Yes, David.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are conservative, Bible preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org, and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options, and then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
All other ground is sinking sand, a doubting maze of desert land, where darkness rules the heart of man, till the sun shines light on him. Lord of all, show your throne. On our knees we fall. Be a cornerstone. Be a cornerstone. Be the rock higher than I. Be my fortress wall. Be a foundation for crumble down again. This certainly will be the end of them that built a man.